Morning, would you turn to the book of Ecclesiastes, chapter 3. If you don't have a Bible this morning, there is one in front of you or behind you or on the side of you. Grab it. Let's read the word of God together this morning. If you're a visitor, we say welcome in the name of Jesus. Right in front of you or behind you is a visitor card. Grab it. It's yours. Fill it out. Bring it to the welcome desk. And we want to say just welcome to Hope Community. This today, we know it's a holiday weekend, but we want to get our new members classes. So if you are interested and becoming a new member right after service, Pastor Ted will be leading a class in the cafe with free snacks and drinks, and so you can grab those. It's going to be about an hour. It's going to be right after service, so maybe 11:30, maybe 12:30, and then it just helps you to acclimate and become a member here at Hope Community. And we want to say everything starts back up this week, so teenagers and youth groups and women's Bible studies, we are all back at it until Christmas time. So are you ready? Say amen. How many of you like Thanksgiving food? Anybody like Thanksgiving food? Anybody don't like Thanksgiving food? Just me. And so, you ever have a craving for something? Some people crave Thanksgiving. How many people crave Thanksgiving food? Like, you really, anybody? You just have to lift your hand. So many. Okay, I see you really like Thanksgiving. And so I was thinking of cravings. I sort of always do sushi. I don't know. It's really good. And so there's different cravings that we have in our lives, which is food related, correct? Like, how many people, what would be something that you crave on the count of three? One, two, three, go. I didn't even know what I heard. I thought I heard pita bread, but that would be so weird to crave pita bread. And so you have cravings, and we all have them. You're like, I long for chocolate, or I long for sushi, or I long for boiled seafood. Can I get an end? I'm talking to the right people this morning. And so, fiery crab, you know where it's at. And so I don't care for that. I'd rather boiled seafood. So you have a craving, right? Like Mexican food or Hispanic food or whatever you're craving. Is some good tacos, you know, with cilantro and onions. Amen. And so those things we long for in our cravings, in our food, but there is also a longing in our heart that can only be filled with Jesus. Now, longings is a deep and persistent desire, our yearning. It's a theme that we see in the Bible. In fact, we ended with the song this morning, O Come, Emmanuel. And what happens is that we are going to study some Christmas songs in the next 3 weeks, and then we're going to have a big old play talking about the songs. But this morning, our song of choice is O Come, Emmanuel, which is a longing in our heart for the return of Christ, which was also 2,000 years ago, the longing of the heart of Israel for the coming king, the Messiah, and his name was going to be called Jesus. Somebody say Jesus. Now, in Ecclesiastes chapter 3, in verse 1, it goes like this. Now, Ecclesiastes is written by this, Solomon, the wisest man on the earth. He didn't say that. God actually said it. He asked the Lord. The Lord asked him, what would you like? And he asked God for wisdom. Do you know that you can ask the same thing? James chapter 1 says, if any of you lack wisdom, you can ask of God, and he will give you liberally, all the time if you ask for wisdom. It's a prayer request you can always ask for. And so Solomon asked the Lord for wisdom, and God gave it to him, and he writes the book of Proverbs, but he also writes the book of Ecclesiastes, which is almost like a book of longing for something greater that is to come. So Ecclesiastes 3 and verse 1, you probably heard of this at maybe a funeral or maybe a wedding. I don't know. Either way, it works. It says, for everything there is a season and a time for every matter under heaven. And he sort of breaks this apart for us, Solomon does. He says, a time to be born and a time to die. We know both. A time to plant and a time to pluck up what is planted. A time to kill. Ooh. And a time that there will be healing. A better word for that would be a time of war and a time of peace. A time to break down and a time to build up. There are times in our lives where things are broken, and there are times in our lives when there are things that are being built up. I pray for that even in this area. In verse 4, it says, a time to weep. And probably each one of us in the room, if you've been living long enough, have had a time to weep. But it also says there is a time to laugh. So both sort of happening in the middle of our worlds, you see one thing that's mixed with another. So in this instance, a time of weeping, but also there is a time of laughing, a time of mourning, and a time of what? Dancing. It says a time to cast away stones and a time to gather stones, a time to embrace, and even a time to refrain from embracing, a time to seek, and then a time to lose. So there's times in our lives where we're seeking and seeking, but there's sometimes where things and relationships that don't work out, and there's a time of losing. And Solomon understands this in his wisdom of living. He says there's a time to keep and a time to cast away. I love this when we purge our houses, right? Like you cast away bags and bags of garbage. I love when my kids do that. Keep keeping, but sometimes cast away. In verse 7, it says a time to tear and a time to sow. A time to keep silent. Can I get an amen? Speaking to myself. And then there's a time to speak. A time to love and a time to what? Hate. And that's not saying that we can hate our neighbors. That's hating the injustice of this world and the things that are against the Lord. A time for war and a time for peace. And Solomon continues, understanding that there is this longing in our hearts that cannot be filled by any of the things that he just mentioned. So he says, what gain has the worker from his toil? I have seen the business that God has given to the children of man to be busy with. So God has assigned us to something. He has an assignment on your life. You have something, you should have something that keeps you busy. There is nothing wrong with being busy, having a calling, having a ministry, having a job. Those things are, God says, that's good. And Solomon's just calling that out. And he says, I have seen the busyness that God has given to the children of man to be made busy with. And then in verse 11, he says, he has made everything beautiful in his what? Time. You notice that repetitive word over a time to heal, a time to kill, a time to be born, a time to die. And then Solomon writes, in all of that, God is making everything beautiful. And it doesn't say immediately. It doesn't say today. It doesn't say 2,000 years ago. It says God is making everything beautiful in his what? In his time. Also, and here's where we're going to lean in this morning. It says, also, he has put into man's heart, and women, we are included. So he has put into man and woman's heart eternity. It says he has put eternity into man and women's heart, yet so that he cannot find out what God is doing from the beginning to the end. So it's almost if God has set us up. I love the way that my old Sunday school teacher used to teach this. God has set us up, and there is a longing in our heart that is only filled by eternity. And there used to be a man called the Donut Man when I was growing up, and he would have a donut shop, and he would create donuts. Do you know that every donut actually has a hole in the donut before they create it? And what do? They pluck out the hole, and they fry the donut holes, and wham, donut holes. And then on the other side, they have what? Donuts with a what in it? A hole. It's not a hard question. And so it's a donut with a hole in it, and they fry both. So they put the donuts in, and then they put the holes in. And all the time that you eat a donut, there is something missing in the middle of that, and it's called the donut hole. Now, why did I say that? Because God has set us up with eternity in our hearts. And what happens is we try to fill it with everything else but the creator of the universe. So here's what we do. We know that there is a hole in the sides of our heart, that we long for something that cannot be filled on this side of heaven. And so we go after it with all of our hearts. I don't know if you're a sports fan, but if you are, you would know we could go to a Super Bowl and long for a Super Bowl. But the problem is, even if you win a Super Bowl, go Saints, many years ago, or if you are like Tom Brady, who has won 7 Super Bowls, there is still a hole in the middle of Tom Brady's heart. Check out this video of him saying that exact thing.
Why do I have 3 Super Bowl rings and still think there's something greater out there for me? I mean, maybe a lot of people would say, hey, man, this is what it is. I reached my goal, my dream, my life is me. I thank God. It's got to be more than this. I mean, this can't be what it's all cracked up to be. I mean, I've done it. I'm 27. And what else is there for me?
What's the answer?
I wish I knew. I mean, I think that's part of me trying to go out and experience other things. But I love playing football and I love being the quarterback for this team. But at the same time, I think there's a lot of other parts about me that I'm trying to find. And different ways of expression, being around. I know what ultimately makes me happy are family and friends. And positive relationships with great people. And I think I get more out of that than anything.
And so he says, I wish I knew what could fill my heart. That was in 2005, 3 Super Bowls in. He ends up winning 4 more. But if you know anything about Tom Brady's life, he ends up destroying it. And there's a divorce, and it's nasty and messy. So even though he said, maybe it could be a relationship that fills me, even that relationship did not fill him because God had set up Tom Brady with eternity that was missing in a donut hole shape of his life. And there was a longing, and he won 1 ring, and it didn't happen for him. And he won 2 rings and it didn't happen for him. And he won 7 reigns and it doesn't really matter because the longing of our heart is only to be filled by Jesus. So the Pelicans can win an NBA championship. I'm joking, they can't. You could get the girl or the guy and it won't fill your heart. You could get the job and the promotion, and for a moment, it will feel good, but it won't satisfy you. You can get a brand new car. I love brand new cars. I love the smell of brand new cars, but eventually what happens? That brand new car gets old and rusty and has a non-eternal side to it, so you have to get another one, and you have to get, or you maybe have gotten the scholarship, or the promotion, or you might be ranked 1 in your class, and it will still feel empty and unfulfilling, and there is a longing that cannot be satisfied on this side of heaven. You could go through a great Thanksgiving. I hope you had a great Thanksgiving. You could have had a terrible Thanksgiving. Just nod your head, and if it's the person that side of you, just pretend like they're not there. And so you could have had a good holiday this week, or you could have had a bad one. You could have had family drama and family mess, or it could have been the most picture perfect holiday, and you could have put your poster on Hallmark and it still would have left you empty, because we're looking for something on this side of heaven that cannot fulfill us. You may be in a season, a time in your life. You might be in a time of planting or a time of harvesting. And either way, there's not the complete satisfaction. We could be in good seasons or bad seasons. It does not satisfy. And it almost seems as if God has set it up that way so that we will long for him first. C.S. Lewis says it like this, and it'll be on the screen. If I find in myself a desire which no experience in the world can satisfy. Let me say that again. If I find myself in a desire which no experience in this world can satisfy. And so we sort of set people up. We say, oh, little baby, get ready to walk. And when you walk at all, and the baby walks, and it's fine, and it's fun. But then, baby, you got to get ready to go to school. And they graduate pre-K now, and now they graduate kindergarten. And they get a cap and a gown, but something still feels empty. And you go to high school or junior high school, and you get to the next level, and you you maybe get a degree or you go to the workforce and then they tell you what? Get married. If you get married, all of your desires will be found in your husband or found in your wife, and you get married and there's a little bit of an emptiness because there's no way that another human could fill the eternity that is written in the core being of who you are. So you get married, then you have kids. That gets crazier. Sometimes it even gets worse. Y'all know. And so you have kids, and then you have, oh, just wait till you have grandkids. That's what people tell. Just wait until you have grandkids, and then you'll be fulfilled because you don't have to take care of them. You can just spoil them. And I'm sure it's an amazing time. It's just not going to fill the hole that is deep on the inside of my heart. And all of a sudden, you're at the end of your life longing for what? The next thing, the next fulfillment. Maybe Christmas will make me feel better, or maybe the next season, or maybe the next time, or maybe if I just do more, do this or do that. And C.S. Lewis says, if I find in myself a desire which no experience in this world can satisfy, the most probable explanation is that I was made for what? Another world. You were not made for this world. We are not made to live here forever. And in the song, O Come, Emmanuel, there was a longing and a desire, not just for a Messiah that was coming as a baby, but for a Messiah that would come back as king. So many times we take Christmas and we make it real small, and we put up a manger scene and we look at cute baby Jesus, or look at Mary or Joseph or the angels or the wise men, which were way more than three, and we put up statues and we have this cute little kumbaya feeling in our heart, and we're like, wow, that's neat. I can't wait for Christmas next year. Drop in some snow and put in a little bit of bling and my Christmas will be great. And the Lord says that the thing that we are waiting for is not just the Messiah that has come, but the Messiah that is coming back again. There is a longing in our heart and the eternal parts of us that says, O come, Emmanuel. Things are not right here. Last night there was a murder in California, mass murder shooting. Probably didn't hear about it because there were so many that have happened this week alone. We see this injustice. We see these things that happen that pull away at our hearts, and we have these seasons of mourning, mourning and weeping, and we have these seasons of crying, and we have these seasons, and all the time the Lord says, I am setting you up for eternity. I've put a donut-sized shape of hole in your heart, and the longing of our heart should be, O come, Emmanuel. And in the 1800s, this guy who wrote this song, he was an amazing man. He was an Anglican. He opened up a nunnery, you know, where they have different nuns, and helped widows. Then he opened up social welfare organizations. He cared for orphans. That's pure religion. And he helped young women, and he was a warden of the college. And he would translate old hymns in the 800s. And the 900s and the 1600s, he would translate things so that the people in the 1800s could read them. And he transposed what we find today as O come, Emmanuel. It was the longing and the anticipation for the coming Messiah. He would focus on those hymns, and he wrote 7 verses of this song. We sang one this morning. We sang the first one. But there are actually 7 verses, and what would happen in the Gregorian chants of that time, that was some chants that they would do, they would take out these chants or these hymns, and one time a day, they would sort of chant over one verse a day. And so what they would do is, for instance, they would say, O come, Emmanuel, and ransom captive Israel, that mourns in lonely exile here until the Son of God does what? Appears. And they would start at that place in their life, and then what would happen is they would just sort of meditate over that and say, this is the longing of our heart, O come. And he would write it from a place of, yes, the Lord is coming. Yes, the Messiah will be born. In fact, on the next slide, we have Emmanuel, which means God with us. In John chapter 1, it says, the Word became flesh. In the Message version, it says, and he came to our neighborhood. Somebody say, God with us. He didn't just stay in heaven, but the longing of our heart is that God would come with us. Remember the garden, what happens in the cool of the afternoon, Adam and Eve walked with who? They walked with God. And so there's this longing again, God, come to my life. God, be a part of who I am. And so the longing of their hearts was God Emmanuel, God with us, the promised one who dwells with his people. In Isaiah 7 and verse 14, it says, they shall call his name what? Emmanuel, written 800 years before the prophecy or the coming of Jesus. In Matthew 1, 23, he applies this prophecy to Jesus himself. And so what happens is they would begin to chant, O come, Emmanuel. O come, God with us. Help us, Lord, heal us. And they would move on to verse 2. Let's check that out. So in verse 2, it says this, O come, thou rod of Jesse, free thine own from Satan's tyranny, from depths of hell thy people save, and give them victory over the grave. So by day 2 of right before Christmas time, the Gregorian chants and now the hymn and now us even today, we begin to speak of the rod of Jesse. What is the rod of Jesse? This is who Jesus is. He is a root that comes from the Davidic line. That means the line of David. So they had people that would come through the line of David, and Jesus says, I am the king that you have been looking for. I am the messianic king from Jesse's line. Isaiah 11, 1 says, a shoot from the stump of who? From the stump of Jesse. Again, a prophecy. Isaiah 11, 10 says, the root of Jesse shall stand as a banner. Paul, it says this in Romans 15, 12. He quotes Isaiah about the root of Jesse defeating the enemy. So now God is with us, and now he is our king. And so they wrote another line of the verse, O come, Emmanuel. Here's part 3. It says this, O come thou wisdom. Somebody say wisdom. Remember Solomon wrote about wisdom? Remember James 1 promises us wisdom? So we know that God is with us. We know that he is king. And now it says, O come thou wisdom from on high, who orders all things mightily, to us the path of knowledge show, and teach us in her ways. That was a personification. Oftentimes we see wisdom personified as a woman. And it says, teach us in her ways to go. So the Lord is saying, I am with you. He is saying, I am the king, and he's also saying, I am wisdom. And so we'll look at the next slide. It says, oh, wisdom, divine wisdom, the ordering of all things. Isaiah says, the spirit of wisdom and understanding. Proverbs 8 says, wisdom is promised with God at creation. Remember that? As the spirits were hovering over the water, what was happening? The wisdom of God and the promotion of God and the ordering of the things of God. 1 Corinthians 1 says, Christ is the wisdom. Somebody say wisdom. He is the wisdom of God. In Colossians, it says Christ ordering and sustaining all of creation. So he is the Lord. He is with us. He is king. He is wisdom that was coming on high. And they were looking forward as 2,000 years ago. Go to the next slide. It says this, O come thou Lord of might, who to thy tribes on Sinai's height in ancient times did give the law in clouds and majesty and in awe. So in this case, God is the law. Remember the Ten Commandments? And the Lord comes to Moses on Mount Sinai, and what does he give him? He gives him the law. He gives him the rules. And God says in this moment that Jesus was going to fulfill the law. It says in Exodus, God reveals his name. It says, O Adonai, the Lord who gave the law on Sinai. Isaiah, the Lord is our judge and our what? Lawgiver. He is our king, but he's also the one who keeps the law. So he is with us. He is king. He is wisdom. He is the lawgiver that was coming. Let's go to the next slide, please. So it says this, O come thou key. Somebody say key. What does Jesus say? I am the door. It says anyone who knocks, I am the key. in this case, the key of David. He says, and open wide our heavenly home. Make safe the way that leads on high and close the path to misery. Yes, 2,000 years ago, they knew that Jesus was the Christ who would be the key. Jesus says this about himself. He says, I have authority to close and shut. In Isaiah 22, it says, he's the key of the house of David. What he opens, no one can shut. And Revelation 3, in verse 7, he claims this directly. Jesus was the door. He is with us. He is the king. He is wisdom. He is the key, or the divinic key. Let's go to the next one. It says, oh, come thou day spring from on high, and cheer us by drawing nigh. Disperse the gloomy clouds of night and death dark shadows put to flight. Next slide. So he is the day spring. We don't use that word. So he is the light that breaks into the darkness. Jesus says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. Yes, but he is also the light. So we see the king that comes, and he's drawing this line, and every day they begin the chanting, God, O come, Emmanuel. O come, wisdom. O come, king. O come, light of the world. O come, the door. And so Jesus is proclaiming all these things of who he is, and he continues, and it says this. Go to the next slide, please. It says, O come, desire of nations. Bind in one the hearts of all mankind. Bid every strife and quarrel cease, amen, and fill the world with heaven's peace. Isaiah 2:4, God brings an end to strife among the nations. Isaiah 9:6-7, he is the ruler of all nations. He is the prince of peace. Isaiah 28:16, he is the cornerstone that unites all believers. And so they begin to run this and they begin to speak this. And they say in Ephesians, Christ breaks dividing walls and unites all of humanity. So we go in through this passage of this saying, O come, Emmanuel. And we have a time where God is king. He is wisdom. He is Emmanuel. He is the one that is coming. He is the light of the world. He is the key of David. He is the prince of peace. And a lot of times what we do when we sing these songs is we look at it from the perspective of that's who Jesus was. I'm so glad he came to a manger. I'm so glad that he came in a stable. I'm so glad the longing of Zechariah and Anna and the prophets, he fulfilled every one of those things that God had said. And we look at that and we say, well, that's who he was. That's how he came 2,000 years ago. But the longing of our heart, the longing of our heart should be something a little bit more eternal. If you take a look at each of these seven verses again, not with an eye towards what has happened 2,000 years ago when Jesus was born, you'll discover that there is a hidden meaning. There is a meaning or a double purpose. We sing this song from a perspective not just of, Lord, I need you 2,000 years ago, but Lord, the longing of my heart is that you would fulfill that now. That we should have an excitement for Christ's return. That we should have an excitement for the things that the Lord is calling us to. When we sing the lyrics of this song, we're not just celebrating his birth. We are also celebrating the coming again of our King, where there will be no more weeping, where there will be no times of sorrow, where the part that we read from the Song of Solomon, they said there are seasons, but there will be no more seasons to die. There will be no more seasons to kill. There will be no more seasons of breaking down. There will be no more seasons of weeping or mourning. There will be no more seasons of losing. See, the call of our heart is, God, that you would come with us. Somebody say, with us. So the true meaning of the song is looking at it from a different perspective. Let me bring you backwards just a little bit. Are the lights all the way up? Can we pull the lights all the way up? Or maybe my eyes are just really bad. It says this. So if we start here and we go back to those things that the longing of our heart is filled in Jesus, can we go back to the O Emmanuel slide? So what happens is the next one, Emmanuel, God with us, the next one. And so it says this, Emmanuel, God with us. In the manger, yes, but he is also coming back with us to get his people in a new creation. It says the rod of Jesse, the messianic king, the peaceful king Isaiah describes, only fully appears when Jesus comes back to get his bride. O wisdom, ordering of all things, Christ's wisdom is fully displayed, not just in a manger and not just in the cross, but in the resurrection, the unshakable, the things that our soul longs for. There we discover the full wisdom of who Christ is. O Adonai, the lawgiver and the judge. We know that one day all of us as believers, we get in because of our salvation. We get in because of Jesus, but there will be a time of judgment, a time where one day each one of us stand before the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, giving an account for the stewardship of our lives. It says that we look forward to that day. So we're looking at this song, not just from who Jesus was as a baby, but who Jesus is for all of eternity. It says this, the next one, O key of David. He doesn't just open the door 2,000 years ago. He opens the door to heaven. He opens the door to eternal purposes. He opens the door to something that can never be shut. And so we look anxiously for his final authority. And then eventually one day he will shut out all the other things that are of this world. How does it connect? The final sunrise, the king of the nations, the one who unites all of his people. So now we're looking at the last verse, and we're not just looking at someone, because as we know, Jesus came and brought all kinds of disruption. But one day, we look forward to what Revelation says, when all people and all tribes from all nations will stand at the foot of the throne room of God and say, holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty, O come, Emmanuel, and ransom captive Israel. And then between each song, it says this, rejoice, rejoice, that God is coming back again. We could play just a little bit of music. It's an interesting story, the way they wrote this song. It's interesting because it was actually an acronym, but we don't understand it because this song was written in Latin. So what happens is they actually wrote the word in Latin, Secor. I don't know Latin. But each day they would say the scriptures. They would say the words, the hymns proven by the scripture. Emmanuel, God with us, risen King, Key of David, the line of Jesse. And they would say all these things, and that acronym would be Secor. And that would be looking at it from a perspective of, oh, look at Jesus and the baby in the manger. Look at the wise men. Look at the story that Luke and Matthew tell. They would look at it in that perspective. But whenever you take that acronym, Secor, and you walk it backwards, not just looking for Jesus in a manger this Christmas, but looking for someone who will fill your heart. If you're longing for something deeper, the King of Kings, that acronym spelled backwards was Iro Cross. I don't know Latin. It says Iro Cross, and they would say this name, not just looking for a baby in a manger, but looking at a Christ who was coming back again. That word literally means Iro Cross, means the Lord is with you in tomorrow. The Lord is with you in tomorrow. I will be present in your tomorrows. So I don't know what you're facing this morning. I don't know who or what has filled your heart. Maybe you've looked to a relationship or you've looked to a status. But I want to let you know that Christ has set you up for eternity. And the longing of our hearts is not just a baby in a manger, O come, Emmanuel. It is God, make everything right again. God, help me to understand that you are the king, that you are the door, that you are the light. God, you are the wisdom. God, you are the lawgiver. Those things. And when I understand those things, I can be promised that God is with me in my tomorrow. I don't know what you face this morning, but I know a God who will be with you in it. You might go through some hard things this season. You might have been through some hard things. But as I walk through the scriptures, as I see what God is doing, I understand that I serve a God who is with me through it all. Would you bow your head, please, and close your eyes? I encourage you to walk out these doors. Go listen to the hymn. There's a ton of different versions of O Come, O Come, Emmanuel. Maybe this morning that you would change your perspective, not just of something that we do just during Christmas, but rather a perspective of, Lord, those empty places that I am feeling. And we can be a believer in the house and still looking for something else to fulfill a void that only Jesus can. You won't find it in status. You won't find it in position. Maybe in the tough seasons of your life, you're like, well, Tara, I'm going through a season of weeping. Or Tara, I'm going through a season of hardness. Or Lord, I'm going through a season of where everything is getting teared down and nothing's getting built up. Or you're going through a season of war or mourning or breaking down. And you're in that season in this moment. I want to speak and say, the Lord is in your tomorrow. But I can't see that. I'm not asking you to see that physically. I'm asking you to see that spiritually. That in all these things, that our Redeemer walks with us. So that in his time, he is making all things beautiful. If this morning you're in that position, would you just lift your hands? Every head bowed, every eye closed, but you're in a position of longing. You're in a position of grieving. You're in a position of mourning, of weeping. You're in a position of being unfulfilled. You are looking at people or position or popularity. And it's left you empty. Just with your hands lifted before the King of Kings, can we just confess that, and then we're going to just pray out loud and ask that he would walk with us into our tomorrows. Dear Jesus, can you say that out loud? Say, Dear Jesus, with my hands lifted, I admit that I've tried to fill my longings with other things. And in this season of my life, I commit it to you. I thank you that you are the God that walks with me through every phase of my life. And help me, Lord, to trust in you as my king, as my wisdom, as the door, as the light, and the one who is with me in all things, at all times. Thank you, Lord, for filling me this morning with you. Let me pray a prayer of blessing and protection over you before you leave. Lord, I thank you that you're the God who walks with us in our tomorrows. God, some of us in the room are concerned about that. Lord, we have some tomorrows that we don't know what the future is going to look like or how that's going to happen, Lord, but we can walk confident because you are in the tomorrows. God, we thank you that you have set us up, Lord, with a longing that only can be fulfilled by you. God, I pray as we walk out these doors that our prayer would be, O come, Emmanuel. God, that you would say, that we would say, God with us. And God, that we would rejoice, God, this morning, not because our circumstances have changed or not because the world is full of good things yet, but God, that we rejoice because there is an eternity that is coming and our names are written in the Lamb's Book of Life. God, we thank you for that promise. God, thank you for filling us up this morning. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. And everyone said, amen and amen. Would you give the Lord a hand of praise this morning? Walk in His goodness, walk in His power, walk in His might. We'll see you soon at some part of service, midweek services. We encourage you. If you want to become a member, it'll be in the cafe about 11:30. About 11:30, we'll start that class there.